kicking off a brand new series called Give. To simple put, give. As I pondered and had a lot of long statements, I really just prayed the Lord would give me something simple, and how simple it was, simply just call this series Give. We just finished our series on the Word of the Lord called I Love Your Word, and now we're starting a new series today called Give. Let's go back to the next slide. How many remember when we started the first of the year, we talked about the series, The Journey. The Journey, and of course, as we go along in the journey, you see there, you guys will pull that brown slide up if you would, please. It has a chart there. We talked about the growth pattern that we have. And the growth pattern was every Christian and every person in this room is in four places in their life. Every one of you here, you fit in one of these categories. You, maybe you're here, you're exploring God. You haven't quite decided yet, well, I want to give Christ my heart. I'm ready to become a Christian. But you're checking it out. You know, there's something to this. Maybe a friend invited you. Maybe you're soul searching. Maybe you're going through a time in your life when you know that you need something else there, and you're searching out for what the answer is. And so every one of us here, we're in these different stages. Maybe here you're exploring God stage. Maybe others here, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're beginning in God. You're a new Christian, and you're in a stage of just finding out who God is. And, of course, others of you have grown close to God, and you're becoming closer to God. You're becoming a more mature Christian, and you're growing in your faith in God. And then, of course, the ultimate goal is we all want to be there and stay there is this goal of being God-centered people, that we become God-centered, where we have God's heart, we have God's voice, we're God's hands, and we say, God, my life belongs to you. And we talked about how do we get there? How do we go from exploring God to beginning in God? We talked about it. That's grace, that we have to have full understanding of God's grace. And we did a whole series. Remember those 8 weeks we talked about? Consumed by grace, understanding God's grace and how big God's grace is for me. God's grace is so much bigger than I could ever imagine. God's grace covers so many things in our life that we can't even comprehend it. And we will try to tie ourselves down because of our past mistakes and failures. At the same time, when I really comprehend how much God has given me grace, when I really comprehend how big God's grace is in my life, it doesn't lead me to say, you know what, I can go out and live how I want to, but it leads me to say, God, no, I want to give my life to you. God, I want to do the right thing. I want to produce good fruit in my life. I want to make better decisions. God, I want to live for you in a way that I never had before because, God, you have forgiven me of so much grace in my life. And then how do we grow from beginning in God to becoming close to God? It's a biblical foundation that you begin to learn that the Word of God is a daily bread for your life, and that you need to read the Word of God on a daily basis as much as possible. We just came off a 60-day diet where we just said for 60 days we read 3 chapters a day. Many of you here took that challenge, and it was an awesome challenge as many of you grew, and we decided, you know what, life is much better when I can take time to read 3 chapters a day or just read and put the Word of God in my life. And that's how you grow from beginning of God to becoming a person who's drawing close to God as you're learning what His Word of God says, you're learning what the Bible means for my life, you're learning, all right, God has got a plan for my life. God wants to speak to me daily. God has got a direction. He's got a light into my path that He's wanting to give me, the daily bread. It's the air, the breath from heaven. It's the water from the fountain of life. It's these things that God is wanting to show me. And so today we're going to start this last bridge as we talk about how do we go from being close to God to become a person who is God-centered. And it ultimately comes down to this word giving. This word giving, that when we learn to be giving people, learn to give our life away in every area of our life, when we say, God, everything I have belongs to you. God, everything I have, that we become a Christ-centered, a God-centered person. Now, I would say to you that in every stage of this, to the people here today, that you're in every stage of this. We represent every one of these. And I've also seen people who have been God-centered at one time in their life, but have went back to being beginning in God or becoming close to God. You don't, just because you get to one place doesn't mean you stay there. It's a constant journey. And today, the important thing is that you're on a journey and you realize that. And you may not be at the same place as the person next to you or the row behind you. But the important thing is that we're all moving forward, that we're all taking account for our own life, being responsible for our own actions, saying, I've got to go and I've got to grow. That God has always intended for me to grow. The church is not a place for us to come and just feel good. It's not a place for us to say, I just belong to God. But no, it's a place to come and say, God, I'm connecting to a local body, and I want to grow in my daily relationship with you. So how do we grow? It comes through giving. Simple fact. You know, the whole noun of the Bible, we can say the subject of the Bible is what? It's Jesus. Really, the whole subject, the main subject of the Bible is really about Jesus, about the coming King, about what He did in our life, what He came to do in our life, what God's wanting to do. And if we could say that Jesus is the main subject, then what is the main verb of the Bible? it would be this verb of giving. That the whole thing that the Bible's wanting to teach us is about giving. John 3:16 made it very clear, didn't it? Jesus said, "What God said what? That God so loved the world, that's us, that he did what? He gave. First thing that God taught us is what? That he gave his only begotten son. He just didn't give, you know, he didn't just give, you know, I'll give you Pastor Matt when he's born. You can have him, you know. That's all right. I don't really care about him as much, but my son. No, he gave the most precious thing that you and I can relate to. I know he could have gave $10 billion, and that wouldn't have meant much to us. Oh, yeah, God, because you just make the money, you know. You make money happen. So money really isn't a big deal. If God gave $10 billion, he loved the world. We're like, that's good, God. Good gift. Yeah, tax deductible. You saved on taxes. Great. You know, it doesn't mean a lot, but when God says that I gave my only son, we know that, hey, I can relate to that. I have children. I can relate to that in my life. We have relationship. We have father, daughter, father, son, mother, daughter, mother, son relationships, and we know how precious those things are. And the strongest bonds that we experience in life has to do with our children. So when God gave away his son, he teaches that he gave away the most valuable thing to you and I. And so he wanted to teach us that the very foundation, the very part of growing and maturing in Christ is becoming a person who gives. So today I want to talk to you in this opening sermon. I'm just going to give it to you for a few minutes here. I'm going to be time conscious today. But I know that we're going to talk about this thought of learning to open up. Learning to open up. God has always wanted our hearts to be open to him, that our lives are open to him. How many know that really when we look in the mirror, I wonder how many of us realize, are our lives really open? Are our lives really open, or are we closed people? Are our minds closed to new ideas? Are our minds closed to new things? Is our heart closed to what God may want to speak to us? Is our spirit closed? Can anybody tell us anything? Can we receive anything new? Do we want to give, or do we want to hold on to everything we have? What is our natural response? And let's get into this. Let's talk about how do we open up our life. And learning to open our life, first of all, we realize we got to have an open heart. If you're going to open up your life, you got to have an open heart. 1 John 3:17, look what it says right here. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? He says, if we see somebody who has a need and we shut up our heart, how does the love of God abide in him? Now, this scripture doesn't mean that every time we see a need, that God expects you personally to take care of that need. But the problem is this, that many times we are so closed in our heart that God would like to use you to meet needs, but because we walk around with our heart already closed, we never open up to anything. And so what the scripture is teaching us here is that God expects us to walk around with an open heart. And yeah, we're going to see needs. And how can I be sensitive to meeting a need? How can I be sensitive to taking care of something God wants me to give toward if I come in with a closed heart already? We're talking about doing something for the teens back there. Ugh. I mean, boom, right away. We can, you know, we keep our heart, we just shut down right away if we're not in the right spot. Someone comes knocking on, you know. And listen, I know everybody's asking for money. And everybody's coming around wanting to raise money and do this and do that. So it's very easy, if we're not careful, to allow society to close our hearts off. But as a Christian, we got to realize that God is wanting us to have an open heart. And we got to have an open heart. How many times do we drive by somebody with a sign and say, they're probably just going to use that on alcohol. They're just going to buy drugs with that, you know. And maybe they really are just hungry. Maybe it would just take you going through the drive-thru at McDonald's and giving them, you know, a happy meal, whatever, you know, and saying, God bless you. That would actually make a difference in their life that day. Now, there is people who are scam artists, and they're out there. And so I know you cannot meet everything, but how are you going to know? How's God going to speak to you if your heart's already closed? See, it's keeping that open heart. God, do you want me to do something? You know, God, do you want me to do this? And God, I tell you what, if God moves you to do something, I guarantee he's going to provide the resources to make it happen. And so God is going to move your heart. But we got to open up our heart. Leave it open. Proverbs 28:14. Blessed is the man who always fears the Lord. Look what it says. But he who hardens his heart falls into what? Trouble. Trouble. Anybody here ever fall into trouble a lot? I've done that a lot in my life. Why? Because I leave my heart hardened. The man who hardens his heart, the man who closes his heart, is going to fall into trouble. It's a recipe for disaster. So so when we walk around with a closed heart, we're saying, God, I'm looking for trouble. Oh, we don't say that on our T-shirt, and we're not thinking that in our mind, but that's what Scripture teaches us that we have when we close our heart off. We got to keep an open heart. Look at 1 Samuel 15:23 says, "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Now, if I asked you, how many here like to deal in the occult? How many like, you know, to deal with witches, you know? You know, ain't me, Pastor. I ain't in the occult. I ain't in the witch. I ain't in the dark stuff, man. Well, the Scripture says, now, if I haven't offended you yet, just hang on. I'll probably get to you sooner or later today, okay? But it says rebellion is what? The sin of witchcraft. So if you have a rebellious heart, if you have a closed heart, that's where rebellion comes from. When my heart is closed, I'm not going to do what you say. No one can tell me what to do. I can't submit to what God wants me to do. I can't submit to what I'm being instructed to do. I can't submit. I can't be obedient. We close our heart off. It says that rebellion is a witchcraft. It actually is, in other words, we're just plain stubborn. We get stubborn people. It says stubbornness is also a sin. Iniquity is sin. And it's idolatry. What is idolatry? It means when we lift an idol up, when an idol is worship above God. You say, well, just because I'm stubborn doesn't mean I believe God is God. When I'm stubborn, I'm not putting Buddha out there. I don't got a statue. I'm an idol that I'm worshiping. Let me tell you this. How many of you know what the idol is when you're being stubborn? The idol is me and you. When we are stubborn, we're putting ourselves above God. God, I know it all. God, I don't need your ways. God, I don't need instruction. God, I don't need correction. God, I don't need to do this. God, I don't need to do that. And we put ourselves above God. And so it becomes a sin of idolatry, that we're putting ourselves above God. Rebellion, the sin of witchcraft. Easy words to hear today, isn't it? Some of you didn't know you were dealing in witchcraft. But that's the spirit that the Bible says. That's how bad it is. Because God knows that behind the spirit of a closed heart, of a stubborn heart, becomes the same spirit as evil as witchcraft. That's pretty hard, isn't it? That's pretty right in our face. But it's the truth of the word of the Lord. And we got to realize that, because many of us, we're operating in that spirit and don't even realize it. We justify it because of the way I was done. Or someone hurt me in the past, or someone did this and that, or I just don't believe in this, and I just do my own thing. And we're allowing the spirit of iniquity, the spirit of idolatry, the spirit of witchcraft to come and rule our lives. You ever had a strong-willed child? Anybody ever have a strong-willed child? I have some of those, and I won't name any names, but, you know, when I was a kid, they used to say the kid's rebellious. We were labeled as rebellious. I was labeled as a rebellious kid. Who figured that, you know? Rebellion, I like nowadays, so it's better. No, they're not rebellion, you're just strong-willed, okay? Strong-willed. So, don't want to hurt our feelings. So they just tell it how it is. We're strong-willed, not rebellious. But, you know, I have children in my home who, some of them are a little strong-willed than others. And you know what I'm talking about? You ever try to discipline a strong-willed child? You know, I have some children I can just get down and say, enough's enough. Stop it. I'm disappointed. And they're like, ah! Dad! I'll never do it again. And they just break out in tears and cry. And I got other kids. I say, stop it. I'm disappointed. Don't do that. And they're like, you're funny, Dad. All right, you think I'm funny? Go to your room, spend an hour, and you go in there. Don't you know, cut off, don't turn your TV on, your radio on, nothing. Give me your electronics, nothing. Just go to your room for an hour. And you go up to their room, they smile, and you go in there, and they got the whole room turned into a tent and fort. I think I'll spend the rest of the day here, Dad. Go ahead. Thanks for the idea. As much as you try to discipline, the more they're going to show you, uh-uh. And the more pressure I put on, the more they just dig the heels and say, uh-uh, you're not going to break me. They're strong-willed, aren't they? Really, they're being rebellious. You know, there's nothing wrong with having strong-willed children. Those are good things. Those are good traits when they're right place. But sometimes, we also know as parents that we have to teach our children what, that still there's a time that they have to obey and they're going to submit to the authority that's in their life. because they're not always going to be the person in charge. How many know this? It doesn't work that way. If they're going to have a boss, and they're going to have school teachers, and they're going to have people over them, they're going to have a family they're accountable for, and they're going to have things. We're always going to have to learn to be submissive to authority in our life, no matter who you are. There's always people we're accountable to and submit. So as a parent, there's times I have to show them that you're going to submit to authority no matter what. Sometimes on my big kids, my boys, they like to wrestle around. We get to wrestling around. I have some kids I throw in a headlock and slam to the ground. I'm like, all right, Dad, you can still beat me up. Leave me alone. I give. I got other kids that you can put them in a headlock and hold them on the ground. And they're like, you give up? No. Can you breathe? No. You know, just say mercy. No. You know, and they won't do it for nothing. Well, we're just going to stay here until it's time to eat. You know, and they won't give in for nothing. I lay on top of them and trying to show them, Dad still got it, because I know shortly Dad won't have it. So I'm trying to get my bluff in now. And I just apply pressure in a gentle, loving way. Let them know that I can still take them if I need to. It's the mental thing, you know, because I know these boys are going to be really big, bigger than me. They're getting there close. And so I'm trying to get my bluff in right now. And some of them, they won't give up for nothing. Time to eat. I'm not hungry. Well, I am, so all right, just don't do it again. Let's go eat. And so they won't give up for nothing. You know, some of us here, I wonder how many of us here are that way in our heart, that we won't give in for nothing. And sometimes the pressure that we're feeling is not from the enemy, but it's from a loving father who's trying to pressure us and get us to learn to open our heart, to submit, to give to the authority. To get rid of our stubbornness, to get rid of our strong will, that we say, God, I want to learn to open my heart and be obedient to you. Sometimes we blame everything on the trouble, on the enemy. Satan's coming against me. Satan's doing that. Maybe it's just the Father saying, you know what? I just need to apply a little pressure to you right now because I'm trying to teach you a lesson. I'm trying to teach you a lesson on submission. You see, we got to learn to open up our heart and let God do what he wants to do. We also must learn to have an open hand. We've got to open our hands. How many know that when we're born like this? We're born with a closed hand. Really, we are. Think about it. What's one of the first words you learn as a kid, your kids learn? Parents, you have small kids. You know, mommy, daddy is always one of the first words. But what's some of the other first words they learn? Two of the first words. No, and what else? Mine. I mean, it's amazing. And blah, 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 mine. You know, they can't say anything else, but they know mine above anything else. And they don't, it's not theirs unless somebody else wants it. Isn't that true? I mean, they can have some toy they haven't played with in 2 years or, you know, in 3 months sitting over in a corner broken, and some kid comes over and picks it up, and they're like, ah, mine! I mean, it's just our nature, we're born with this selfishness that it's mine. When we got married, I told my wife, I said that, you know, everything that's yours is mine. And everything that's mine is mine. And so we had to understand, you know, it didn't go very well. We're naturally selfish people. That's what we are by our human nature. So we have to acknowledge that and say, God, I've got to learn to have an open hand. I've got to learn to have an open heart. I've got to learn to open up and say, God, quit letting me go to a natural of trying to hold on to everything. Hold on to my time. Hold on to my money. Hold on to my giftings. Hold on to my children. Hold on to all this stuff. Hold on. No, God says, I want you to give it away. God, I want you to open heart. I want you to learn to use it for my kingdom so I can bless you even more. God is wanting to grow you. God's wanting to open up heaven and pour out to you so many things, but it comes when we open up our hearts to the Lord. Deuteronomy 15:7-8, look what it says. If there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that the Lord of your God has given you, look what he says. Do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your poor brother. Rather be open-handed and freely lend to him whatever he needs. And what I'm talking about here is getting to the very heart of the issue that if we harden our heart and we close our hand. And God's saying, God doesn't want Christians representing him walking around with a hard heart, a closed heart, and a closed hand. He wants us to learn to be people who give. And some of you here are some of the best giving people I know. I tell you, we got some great giving people that you would do anything that was asked of you. You would serve anytime, and you would give anything. And I just really thank God for you. But, you know, it's not always a natural thing. and that you've had to learn that over time, and you've done, and I see God growing you for that. But not all of us here have that same heart. Some of us here, it's because we're naturally selfish people. We want it, you know. We want it on our time. We want it on our time frame, and we want to give, you know, our budget, not God's budget. And so we got to learn that God is wanting me to have an open heart. He's also me to want to keep my hands open. Don't always walk around with my hands tight-fisted. God, is there something you want me to do? God, is there somewhere you want me to serve? God, is there somewhere you want me to be a part of? We close our hand because we are closed-minded and hearted. That's why we close our hand. When people who are closed-minded and close-hearted, they are naturally close their hand. We must break away. People who are closed-minded and hearted, it's their way or the highway, right? We know that. We think it's our way or the highway. That's a stubborn heart that Scripture talks about. Stubbornness comes from what? It comes from fear and pride. Stubbornness comes from fear and pride. We fear what will happen if we are not in control. And we fear and we are arrogant to think that nobody else can teach us anything, that our ways are always the best. The guys, we really have a hard time with this. As dads and as fathers, we always think we know it all. And we're in control. You know, so we can very easily come to a point where we walk around, no one can teach us anything. I know everything. So as men especially, I speak to the men here today, we got to learn to keep our hearts open, keep our hands open. You know, my kids coming to me, I'm always saying, no. Before you ever get the question now, Dad, no. What? How much is it going to cost me? You know, automatically, no. Well, you ain't going there. You know, and I got to teach myself, don't say no this right away. Open up, you know. And I got to learn as a father and as a husband, we've got to learn to open up our heart. And that's the way God's wanting us to live our life, a life open-minded, open-hearted, our hands open. We fear what would happen if we're not in control. Some of you ladies try to keep such a tight ship at home, and I really appreciate you doing that. But sometimes we got to learn that, you know, I can't always be in control of everything. I got to let go and let God be in control of some things. I can't control the outcome of my children all the time. I can't always control the outcome of what's happening. But you know what? I can give it to God and say, God, I'm going to keep an open heart and open mind. And God, you're in control. And God, I'm following you because your ways are better than my ways. God, your ways are higher than my ways. And I got to learn to give it up. We got to learn to open up our life, learn to open up to Him. And today, the last thing I want to talk to you about is also having an open heaven. How many want to live in an open heaven? How many know what an open heaven is? The Scripture teaches us that an open heaven basically means this, that we live in a place of blessing where God is opening up heaven. He's speaking to you. He's pouring blessing into you. Scripture even talks about a latter rain. When you see the word latter rain, it refers to the blessing of the Lord, that He would open up the heaven. He would give us a latter rain. We see that latter rain mentioned about 8-10 times in the Bible where He talks about it. He opens up heaven and gives a latter rain, a blessing that comes from an open heaven. God wants to open up heaven and give to us a blessing. Look at Malachi 3:8 says, 8-10, will a man rob God? How many, that's always a good statement. Isn't that a good statement? Will a man rob God? Think about that. If you want to rob anybody, how many know God is not the person you want to rob? How many know God's not the person you really want to tick off, okay? We know that, right? Just keeping that in mind. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but we say, in what way have we robbed you? He answers it in tithe and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes, that's 10%, tithe means 10%, into the storehouse, that there may be enough food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. That there is an open heaven that God is wanting to pour out into your life. There's an open heaven. And sometimes we walk around, God, when are you going to bless me? God, when are you going to do that? And I have people tell me all the time, you know, Pastor, if I can just make so much money, then I'm going to start giving to the Lord. I'm going to start tithing. And I'm like, no, you won't. You won't. This is because you get $100,000 in the mail and you win the lottery. You're not going to start all of a sudden start giving to the Lord. Because if you can't give $10 out of the $100 you're getting now, what makes you think you're going to give $10,000? Come on. So that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We learn to do it now. And when we do that, what's happening, all we're being obedient of paying our tithe and offering. And we pay 10% of what we make. Not only obedient, but the Word of God says this, that we live under an open heaven. And so I can tell you this, that I see people who live this way, and I see them living under open heaven. I see other people who struggle. And it's not always that, you know, you walk around and say, like, you know, it's hard. Sometimes it is hard. Sometimes it is sacrifice, and sometimes it is takes a lot of budgeting to keep it up. But I tell you this, that God will bless you beyond measure. And I want our church to be a church that rests under an open heaven. And when the majority of our body and the people who are maturing and growing, and we take this, say, God, we're going to be giving people. We're going to have open hearts, open hands, and we're going to live under an open heaven. I tell you what, the sky's the limit. The sky's the limit for what God wants to do. And God has already done that in many of your lives. You begin to give. There's people here in this room who, since they've come in this church, have started tithing for the first time. And I see where God has blessed them. He's given them better jobs. He's given them raises. Sometimes they went through a time, they started tithing, all of a sudden they lost their job. You're like, oh, this is working reverse. But I tell them, hold steady. Hold steady. And see what God does. And I tell you, it's not shortly after that. They go through that time. They come back and say, man, I'm better off now than I ever was. And even when my wife lost her job, we didn't even see an influxuation. We still kept the same lifestyle. We still made it, and we don't realize how. Or you got a raise, or you got an end of year check, or your income taxes was much better than you thought it was going to be, and things just happen, and all of a sudden your wife gets offered another job, and you get offered a job, and you look back and say, God, you've been faithful. God, you've been faithful, and you live under an open heaven. There's things that happen. An open heaven. Let's look at the context of the scripture. Let's back it up to Malachi chapter 1, verse 8. Verse 8, verse 10, and verses 13 and 14. I put all them all together here together. It says, when you bring, this is what God's speaking to us. He says, when you bring blind animals for sacrifice. And of course, in the Old Testament, we see where when they brought their animals or livestock, it says this is their livelihood. This was 10%. And he asked them to give their first or best. They were supposed to bring the best lamb, the best goats, you know, the spotless one, the one who was the best. That's what God asked for them. They had 10 goats. They were to bring 10 new goats. They were to bring the best one, not bring the one who was crippled, who was blind, that nobody else would want to buy, nobody else would want to eat. He said, bring your best to me. That's what God was talking about here. When you bring your blind animals to sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? But look what he says here. I love this statement. This is God speaking to us. He says, try offering them to your governor. Let me interpret that to you. He's saying this, when we bring our leftovers to God, instead of giving him my first 10%, when we say, God, I can't give 10%, but I'll give you 3% of what I got left over. It's like bringing a blind animal. He says, it's like bringing a bad sacrifice. He says, try that with the government and see how it works. And what he means by this, if the government says, IRS says you owe 15%, and you say, you know what? Forget that. I know you want me to give 15%, but I'm only going to give 5%. He says, try that with the government and see how the government likes that. It doesn't fly with there, and God says, it doesn't fly with me. God doesn't like it. He says, try and offer them to the governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Look what God says. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord God Almighty. I will accept no offerings from your hands. When you bring injured, crippled, diseased animals to offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? And look what he says at last. Cursed is the cheat. What, boy, if I haven't offended you yet, the Word of God really doesn't. It just steps all over our toes. Look what it says. Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices the blemished animal to the Lord. God, I'll give you my best. That's what we do. And I tell you what, this is where we are. God, if you'll just bless me and my business. God, if you just bless me and my finances. God, I promise you, I'll give you my best. And God will bless you, and then what happens? You'll still take your worst and give it to God. Just enough to get by. I just want to do enough to say, God, I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm not tithing 10%, Pastor, but I'm tithing 5%. How many know that's impossible? You can't tithe 5%. How much do I know what a tithe is? 10%. I can't say I'm giving 10% of 5%. I mean, that doesn't happen. The math doesn't work that way, does it? It's impossible. And so today, having an open hand, open heart, talking about giving, what I'm speaking to you today is having an open heart. God has wanted us to live openly. And this is what the scripture says, that we got to learn to have an open hand, an open heart, to live under an open heaven. Now, in this series, Give, we're going to be talking about a lot of things. We're going to talk about how to give forgiveness. We're going to talk about the joy that comes with a giving heart, talk about serving. And this is going to be an exciting series. I believe it's going to take you from a person who is learning to know who God is to become a person who becomes God-centered in your life. And you're living under an open heaven. That's the ultimate goal that God wants for us. Today, you're here and you know that. I don't preach on tithing very much. But it's a very important scripture. Scripture's full of giving. talks about how we handle our money. I would be doing you a vast disservice. I would be disobedient as a pastor who I'm accountable to God if I didn't teach you the whole word of the Lord. And the whole word of the Lord is very clear about how you and I handle our money. And it's very clear about the blessing that comes with those who do. And I want you to experience an open heaven. I want you to grow to your fullest. And you'll never grow to your fullest until you open up your hand, open up your heart, and say, God, everything I have belongs to you. Some of you here today, God's already been dealing with you about having a closed heart. And you realize as I'm talking, that's you, that you're really easy because of things that have happened in your past, because you haven't trusted some people, that you very easily have closed your heart off really fast. And so when anybody talks about anything at all, or if someone has a need at all, we're like, let somebody else do it. I'm tired of dealing with that kind of stuff. And we close our heart off. We walk around with our eyes down, and our heart closed. And everywhere we go, God's looking for somebody. God's sending somebody that you can be reaching, that you can minister to, that you can show in love toward, that you can be speaking words of encouragement to. God's looking for people who are going to be obedient and say, God, I'm going to bring my tithe and offering to you. I'm going to believe you. Listen, young people, you're never too young to start it now. Start it now. I just say, start it now. You want to excel in your job? Do you want to be the people who your team say, how'd you become assistant manager so fast? You're just in high school. How'd you get the raise so fast? You work your job as unto the Lord, and you pay your tithe to the Lord and see what doesn't happen. I guarantee you, God will give you favor in your job. It'll happen. I guarantee you, I'd give you a money-back guarantee if I could. I'm allowed to do that legally. I can guarantee you I could do this. You start tithing. It's like we took a 60-day challenge. I challenge you. If you have never tithed before, start tithing for 60 days. At the end of 60 days, if you see that, you know what, even though I'm giving my tithe, my budget hasn't changed, and I'm walking in a better place than I was 60 days ago, then just stop. That's what you want to do. But I challenge you, try it out. As a matter of fact, Scripture even teaches us this. Jesus said, in this one area right here, he said, you can challenge me. God said, when it comes to giving, this is the only area that we're allowed to challenge God in. We're never allowed to challenge him in anything else. He says, don't put him to the test. Don't say, God, I'm going to jump off this building. You better catch me if you're God. We don't do that. That's stupid. And God says, don't try me. Don't test me. Except for one area God says we can test him in. He says, when it comes to our giving. He says, you can test me in this. Test me in this. Say, God, I'm believing you. I'm going to plant seed. I'm going to give to my offerings. And God, I believe that God, your word says that you're going to prove yourself to be faithful to me and my family if I'll tithe. Scripture teaches that very clear. So today I want you to live under an open heaven. I want you to open up your heart, your hands. You know what? I want the four-state area to know that Destiny Church is an open-handed church. I want people to know that we're not afraid to throw big kids fest and invest into children. I want to know we're not afraid to invest in young people and teenagers. I want to know we're not afraid to go to college students and say, here, God bless you. Here's a welcome package. Welcome to the school and investing thousands of dollars in the new college students coming in. I want to know that we want to help people. We want to help people. Can we meet every need? No. But we can meet some. And we can do best what God's calling us to do. I want us to know that we can, on Christmas time, we're going to go out and we're going to take 1,000 Krispy Kreme donuts out to the city and flood them with our police workers and our fire department and our hospitals and know, Merry Christmas. God loves you. We want to have an open heart. We want an open hand. We want to open up our homes and say, come to our home. Be a part of our small group. We want to open up our lives. We want to come to church and say, God, we want to open up our heart to you with our hands raised, with our heart open. No longer are we going to come into your presence with a closed heart. God, we're going to believe you. God, we're going to open up our checkbook. God, we're going to put your word to the test that says, if I pay my tithe, that God, you're going to bless me beyond measure. It's an open heaven. It's a part of becoming a Christ-centered person, a God-centered person. I'm going to invite you to stand this morning on your feet. This is what I want today. As we kick off a series, I believe it's very important that we really pray today that God would allow our heart to be open. This is an important part of giving. Because automatically, when you start a series like this, what happens is we automatically want to close off and say, all right, let's wait and get to the next series, and then I'll open up my heart again. And I tell you what's going to happen, Satan's going to come against you all week long and try to get you to close your heart and close your mind. Because he knows that this is the secret. This is the key to growth. He knows that. This is the key. The God's blessing in your life is the key of having an open heart, a giving heart, learning to give. And so what I want you to do is I want you to pray, God, my heart stay open. this whole next 6 to 8 weeks, however long we do this series, God, I want my heart to stay open. I want my mind to stay open. I want my hands to stay open. And I want to become the person that you've called me to be. And I want my heart to be challenged. I want every one of us, me included, I want every one of us to be challenged to say, you know what, we're going to be better givers than we've ever been. We're going to walk in a new freedom. We're going to walk in a new open heaven because we're going to unlock the gift of giving in our life, in every area of our life. Finances, our serving, the joy, our testimony. We're going to open up everything we have and say, God, it all belongs to you. Today, if you're comfortable doing this, I'm going to invite you just to raise your hands toward heaven and say, God, I want my heart to be open. Let's pray that prayer. God, I want my heart to be open. I want my mind to be open. I want to stay open to you and your will. Father, right now, as the pastor of this congregation, God, I pray for every person here today. Every person here, Lord, I pray that their heart would stay open to you, that their will would stay open to you, that their mind would stay open to you. That, God, that through this series, they would learn to open up themselves again to you. God, I pray that, God, we would not close our heart, but, God, we want to open it back up again. Those people have been hurt, and they've been walking into church with a closed heart because they've gone through a bad situation at the church. God, I pray that you set them free. God, begin to allow them to forgive. Allow them to open up their heart to you. The people who, Lord, have been just selfish in nature because we've gone through things in our life. We've gone through some tough financial times, and it's caused us to be closed-handed. Because we've had to fight for everything we got. God, I pray that we learn to open up our hands again. We learn, God, to see the fullness. We want to learn to be giving people. And God, I pray right now that, God, throughout this series, that, God, we would learn to give our life to you fully and completely, that we can become God-centered people. God, I thank you that your word brings correction. Your word brings life. It challenges at the core who we are. And God, so it's going to take us an open heart to receive this full word you're going to have for us over the next 6 to 8 weeks. And God, I thank you for that, and I praise you for that. Right now, if you're here today, just keep your heads bowed. Where you're at, put your hands down, but just keep your heads bowed. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I would not embarrass you in any way. Nobody's looking around but me. But I want to make sure as we close out the service today that you have that chance. Say, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you prayed that prayer a long time ago, but I've been so far away from God. And today, I want to renew that relationship with him. If you're here today, can you just raise your hand and say, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. I want to accept him and his forgiveness. Thank you. Anybody else today, you want to join this person today who raised their hand? Thank you. Anybody else want to join them? Thank you. Yes. Anybody else want to join these three people? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these people today who are raising their hands? Say, I'm ready, Pastor. I'm ready today to give my heart fully to God. Today, let's close out in this prayer. Let's all say this prayer together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. I give to you. I receive now your forgiveness. I confess you as the Messiah and Lord of my life. I will live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, you meant it. Say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, give him a hand clap. Yeah. If you prayed that prayer today, let me say this. That's a beginning step. It's not the end journey. It's the starting of a journey, as I talked about in that chart you saw earlier. It's the starting of a journey today. You need to be faithful in a home church. If you don't have a home church, we welcome you here. We'd love to have you here with friends who can support you, be a part. Hey, listen, Wednesday night, we will see you. Those who can make it out, it's going to be an exciting, life-changing series at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. If you want to buy the book, stop by and get that. Also, Young Life leaders are meeting in the coffee shop. If you want to know more about being a part of Young Life, you can meet with them there. They're going to feed pizza to all the college students who are in there as well. And so, God bless you today. Shake some hands before you leave. Tell some mom, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you were here.